Father, we thank you. We thank you. And when we can't make it work and we don't know how it's going to work, we declare by faith that you have us and that all things work together for our good. We bless you for that. And we honor you for that. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. Thank you for this day of our youth orientation. Thank you for everyone that's gathered via live stream and in person. We thank you for your presence that's with us even now. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We're grateful for what you've done in the past. We memorialize the healings, the deliverances, the salvations, the breakthrough, the blessings. It gives us faith for our present in our present circumstance. And it gives us to look into our future with hope and faith and confidence and assurance and conviction. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We honor your presence. Holy Spirit, minister to us, through us. Share your word, Lord. We want to grow. We are growing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. You can do all things through Christ. Amen. So you can grow. Say, I can grow.
I can grow.
I will grow. I am growing. My faith is growing. My trust is growing. My favor is growing. My influence is growing. My confidence is, my love, my ability to forgive, even my ability to confront. Because what I don't confront will confront me. So I'm growing in that.
Yep.
I'm growing in peace. I can sleep at night. I'm growing in gratitude and thanksgiving. I'm growing in wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. My health is growing.
Come on now.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. My bank account. Somebody say, my bank account is growing.
Amen.
Maybe you don't need your bank account to grow. Amen. In the name of Jesus, revelation is growing. There's a message I'm working on. It's a scripture, and I won't share it because if I go that way, it's going to take me down a road. I won't go there. But the Lord has really, he's been dealing with me in this age of artificial intelligence. And in the world, artificial intelligence is going to be a god to this world. It's going to be a god to this world. And they're trying to regulate it and control it and all. They won't be able to do that. But the people and the people that can tap into revelation and anointing by faith, will it be the people that is sought out? Because artificial intelligence is just that, it's artificial. But people still want the truth. And they want, so the people of God, and you will hear this message down the road, the people of God that can tap into revelation, because you're already anointed. Say, I'm already anointed. You're already empowered by the Holy Spirit. You're already empowered by Holy Spirit. You're already empowered by Holy Spirit. You're already empowered by Holy Spirit. What you need is revelation and how to operate in that power. And then you need the faith to do what he gives you to do with the power you have when he shows you by revelation what to do. So that threefold core, that faith, revelation, and the anointing is going to make the difference. It's going to be a difference maker in these years to come, months to come, years to come. I know, amen, there was one guy, I read a letter from a guy, said that the end was coming on the 18th of this month. 18th. That's tomorrow, isn't it? I'm going to say it's going to all be over. I don't know why people are looking for it to be over so soon. Amen. So we got to call him up on the 19th, see if he's still here. You still got power to move in. You still got wisdom to move in. Amen. You still working out redemption, God giving you back your stuff and going forward in the things of God. Amen. Amen. All right. That was free. Let's move. Thank God for everyone that's here today. Amen. Come on, let's give our guests and everyone a hand. Amen. Our live stream a hand. Welcome to Gen to Gen. I shortened up our mission statement a little bit. I know the leaders, we've been kind of reevaluating mission statements, vision statements. I've kind of shortened up the ministry's mission statement to equipping individuals to impact their generations. Equipping individuals to impact their generation. Our job is to equip you so you can impact your generation regardless of your age. Even a young person can impact their generation. An older person can impact their generation. A teenager can impact their generation. So what we want to do, we want to equip you, amen, to impact your generation. Even if that's through preaching, if that's through education, if that's through the marketplace, running your business, amen, in integrity and righteousness, we want to equip you. We have marketplace ministry here, amen, and we want to bring these ministries up. We got a 501c3 meeting tomorrow, amen, to start writing grants and things of that nature. So our mission is to equip you and give you the tools you need to impact your generation by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the wisdom of God, and the faith to do it. In Jesus' name. All right, let's get into the Word of God here. Let's put up our decree. You see, we got a nice tight shot. Nice, kind of not too tight, but like not too much space. And a profile. Just make sure you got the best side. No, just kidding. Just God bless you. Amen. Pastor Gail and we've been working on our health. So we're down. That's the only thing you don't want to grow. Sometimes you don't want the scale to grow. You what? You say decrease on the scale in the name of Jesus. Amen. So a lot of things can go up, but you don't want the scale to grow. Don't grow. Amen. Proverbs, our first verse is Proverbs 22:6. Oh, a declaration. I'm sorry. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. Let's read together. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what the word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have. The power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. And we've been talking about growth, and we've been talking about the seed of the word of God. And we've been establishing the word of God as really the intentions of God, the expressed will of God in written form, and how it ignites our faith. And we're still on that. We're going to talk a little bit, really lean into the youth today. Amen. But there's something, amen, in this word today for you as well. So let's go to Proverbs 22:6 in the King James. Amen. It's a very short. We've heard this verse so many times. Let's read it together. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. These are the two verses we're going to focus on today. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, and that's in the NIV. This is Paul speaking in a letter to the Corinth church. And if you don't have it, I'll just go ahead and read it. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Say, God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. We want to just use, just as a point to focus in on today, is, and God makes it grow. And God makes it grow. Every one of us in our homes and our families, we function in a culture. And culture is simply defined by the way we express ourselves, the way we show up in our families. Culture is defined by the music you play, the way you communicate with one another, the food you eat. When Pastor Gail and I travel, we love to explore the culture of a place because culture changes from geography to geography. You know, the culture of the Asian culture, when you take your shoes off before you go in a house, is different than the culture of Mexico or the culture of other nations. So it changes, and it's the same way from house to house. Culture, you have a culture in your house. You have a way that your family operates, way that you all talk. And culture practice over time becomes a tradition. If you let me just talk to you for a second, we'll get there. It becomes a tradition. Culture that's repeated in the family becomes a tradition. And that tradition you hand down to the next generation. My grandmother was from the South. Part of their culture was expressed in eating. My grandmother would cook turkey dressing, macaroni and cheese, sweet potato pie, pound cake, and peach cobbler on a Tuesday. Turnover wrapper pies, Santa croquette with sweet rice on a Wednesday. That was the way that, one of the ways that the culture of our house expressed itself. And everybody was welcome to Big Ma's house. You could come unexpected, there'd be plenty of food. Goes without saying that growing up, we had weight issues because they ain't cook with all the fancy stuff back then. They cook with lard. Amen, they cook with lard. That the creamy lard, they ought to outlaw lard. Do they cook with lard anymore? But the culture was expressed itself in food. And I remember the days when we would have pig feet and chitlins. I never did eat. I couldn't handle the smell. I would eat chitlins. But it was passed down. It was in the culture. It became a tradition, and it was passed down through generations. Not all cultures are good. Not all things that are passed down are good. And just because your family did it, and you did it yesterday, does not make it good for today. But that's just the way I do it. And that's just the way I was taught to do it. But that doesn't make it good. Because believe it or not, chitlins are not good for today. I mean, if you have a diet of lard and pig feet, you're going to need healing eventually. You have to watch your traditions, and you have to kind of look at how did I get this way and how was this culture framed? Because in order to achieve a healthy culture, you have to identify, amen, things that were handed down and the way you were taught, and you have to be willing to correct things. And it's not easy to correct a toxic culture. There are some households that communicate with escalated voices. Like no one hears you in the house unless you holler. That's the culture. That is the way communication is relayed in the house. You ever go into a house and the mama hollering at the kids hollering at the sister and brother, everybody's hollering. You're like, why is everybody hollering like this? Because that is the way they have learned to function, and that has become their culture. Your culture in your home, in your family, carries an atmosphere. How you function carries an atmosphere. I used to, when I was young, even before I was a teen, I would go over to my aunt's house. Her name was Aunt Nell. It was my grandmother's sister. And you could go to Aunt Nell's house, you'd go there, and she would have me pick tomatoes and weed tomatoes, and you sit on that couch, and within 5 minutes, you would sleep. Her house was so calm and so peaceful that you just go there and you just didn't want to run around. And she just had an atmosphere in her home, an atmosphere of peace. Your culture will create your atmosphere. And you go into some homes and it's tense. You don't know what it is, but it's an uneasiness in this place. There's no spirit of hospitality here. It's kind of rough here. I don't feel welcome here. It's an atmosphere, and it's because of the contribution of culture in the house. You have to be willing to look at your culture, because culture is so powerful that if you change your culture, you'll change your world. If you change your culture, you'll change your relationships. If you change your culture, you'll change how you interact. If you change your culture, you'll change the way you understand. If you identify toxicity in your culture and work to change it, you can take an unhealthy culture and make it healthy. Here's an example. Think about it for a moment. How do you handle confrontation in your home? How do you handle it? How do you process it? Are you argumentative? When confrontation comes, do you welcome it as a possible opportunity for growth? Or do you take it as a personal assassination to your character? Those that are married, how do you deal when someone says they don't like this about what you did, or they were offended, or whatever the case is, and they confront you? How do you handle it? That speaks of your culture. Because if you're always arguing over areas of disagreement, and you never bring validation and affirmation and value to the other person's perspective, I would dare to say you have an unhealthy culture. Because everybody gets along and has a healthy culture as long as we agree. We're sitting down having a good dinner. Oh, my God, that's easy. When a movie's on that we can laugh and talk about, that's wonderful. But if you want to test the culture, you test the culture when you confront and you disagree. That's okay. Come on, y'all. It's all right. It's all right. It's not a win-loss posture, but it is a seeking to agree and come into oneness and grow from the experience. Our culture ought to be an environment for growth. Say, our culture should be an environment for growth. Unconditional love, patience with one another, mercy toward one another. That helps develop a healthy culture. So my job as pastor is to give you wisdom from the Word of God in how to strengthen the family, because the church is only as strong as the family. And the church is only as strong as the marriages. And the church is only as strong as the youth in the church. So we have to be reminded, and we have to be, our culture needs to be talked about, and we need to share the word of God and apply it to our culture, the word of God that we've discussed, the living word of God, the word that's planted in every believer, the eternal word of God, the instructable word of God, the word by which we're born again, the infallible word of God, the inerrant word of God, the authoritative word of God. The word of God, the mind of God expressed in written form. The word of God, the igniter of our faith. The word of God that 1 Peter says will grow. If you're new today, we've covered these in the last several weeks. And they're all available on the Genogen app and the website. I believe the word of God is the prescription to a healthy family culture. I'll say it again. I believe the word of God is the prescription to a healthy family culture. Proverbs, train up a child in the way he or she should go. When they're old, they won't depart. This train is different in the Old Testament times because, see, the train is much more, had much more weight, and it was so much more impactful than in our days because they didn't have the interference and the distraction of TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. When they said train, they meant train. Train carried the weight of the gladiators in the Colosseum fighting for their lives. And train, where the level of training would be the deciding factor between life and death. Train up a child. Okay. With intentionality, with sobriety, with the seriousness. Train, instruct, coach, tutor, educate, edify, direct, aim, and zero in on. I like the word inaugurate. It means to introduce a system or policy or period, like he inaugurated a new policy, a politician inaugurates a new policy or trade. It means to admit someone formally to public office. It means to mark the beginning or the first public use of, like you would inaugurate a presidential museum. Training is intentional, it's deliberate, and training costs the trainer more than the trainee. Let me say that again. Training costs the trainer more than the trainee. That's why I always question parents that want to collect kids and have kids, but not willing to devote themselves to training. Because training takes time, energy, sleepless nights. Because everything is vying for the attention of your child. And everything wants to bring its own culture into your house. So the trainer has to be aware and be willing and able to adapt to their current time. My God, I'm so glad I didn't have to raise my children in today's world. When they were young, we had AOL. Bzzz, you got mail. Dial up. They weren't moving fast. But even then, I'd take them off internet, and they'd find a way to get back on. They admit it when they get grown. They admit some of the dirt they do when they get older. But the trainer has to be aware and have some discernment and be able to recognize outside distractions. A trainer has to be able to measure the development of your child and see if they're progressing, see if they're moving forward in the things you're training them in. You have to keep the things away that would rob them of their destiny and purpose. One time my daughter had a friend, and I didn't like him. And I told him, I don't like you. Don't you call here no more, and don't you come over. That's right. Don't let this tongue talking fool you. Don't you roll up over here. So you have to be the trainer. Parent has to be the trainer. The child is the trainee. The child is not the best friend. The child is not an equal. The child is not a peer. The child is subordinate to your authority. You're the parent. They're the child. You're the coach. They're the player. You're the tutor. They're the student.
Yes, sir.
Train up a child in the way. Now, this word way is revelatory, man, because it speaks of their moral character and their development. It almost speaks as a road that you lay in the child.
Yes, yes.
It's the way. Train them up in the way. Lay road maps in them. Train them up in the way they should go. In other words, sometimes we focus, amen, on things that manifest, like we'll focus on a lie that someone tells, amen, and we'll zero in on the lie. No, no, we've got to determine and discern the way of the liar. A lie is only a manifestation of the lying ways in a person. Lay ways in them. Ways, road maps. How do they get back? You know, when they're faced with temptation, that way has to be laid in them. A way has to be laid. Train them up in the way, in the character, in the road map. Don't focus on the, amen, manifestations. When you go to a counselor and you say, you walk in, the counselor says, I have a shopping addiction. I always want to shop. I always want to buy. The counselor is not so concerned with the fact that you want to buy or you shop. They want to determine, how did you get that way? What is it that way in you that makes you want to shop? And they'll go back to your childhood. They'll go back to your parents. They'll go back to the culture that you grew up in so that they can look at that way that's laid in you. The way. I'm going to give you a scripture for it in a moment. Just hang in. When we come to Christ, he wants us to change our way. I know I'm not going to stop sinning. Listen, you'll take care of the sin if you change your way. You'll stop cussing people out if you change your way. If you focus on the way, it'll take care of the manifestation. Ephesians 4 and 22 through 24. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. What is this verse saying? When it says put off, it literally means to take off that jacket, take off that care, take off that way, take it off. It's like removing an article of clothing. Take off the old self or the old way, that gambling way, that cheating way, that manipulative way, that prideful way, that stubborn way, that disobedient way, that carnal way, that lustful way. Take that off. He doesn't leave you naked. And he says, put on Christ. He becomes your garment. He becomes the way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So take off the old and put on the new way. There's another scripture in Proverbs 16 and 7. It says, when a man's ways or a woman's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So train up a child in the way, in the behavior, in the character, in the reverence of God. Train up a child in that, lay that way in them. You know who does it? Muslims did it. Sister Kara talked about Ishmael. They do it. I used to photograph pictures and sports pictures in Dearborn. I had a few schools. They were Muslim schools. And the boys and the girls, they played separate. They played, you know, they didn't interact a lot. They don't have that. And they have that, they have a culture. And they lay that way in them from day one. Even before they're born, they lay that, they get that way. And when they're born, they build that way in them. And when they're kids, we used to be up there and it would be Ramadan. The kids be hungry. The kids be hungry. Because you ain't getting served lunch in a Muslim school during Ramadan. You just hungry. Because they teaching you to fast. Because they what they're doing. They're laying that way in you. And you're going to put on your garments. And you're going to wear what you want. That's part of culture. You're going to wear it. You're going to eat it, you're going to speak it, you're going to pray it, and you're going to adhere to the customs. Because that's how we get that way in you. I don't understand Christians who just let the child just do what they don't do and then ask them they want to be saved. Well, I've been living on my own way for like the last 15 years. No, I don't want no Jesus. My hormones are speaking. I just tapped into puberty. I wish somebody would have taught me this. I mean, we kept our kids in church, but I wish somebody would have laid that way in them. Amen. Amen. Another way of saying lay the way in them is teach them how to show up. This is how you show up. This is how you show up in the world. This is how you show up in your culture. This is how you show up to your generation. You show up as a righteous woman. You show up as a righteous young man. You show up, amen, in the fear of God. You show up in prayer. You show up in fasting. You show up in revelation. You show up as a leader. You're not a follower. Amen. God had you born for a purpose. You show up like Jeremiah. You show up like Esther. Laying that way in them teaches them how to show up in their world. Teach them how to show up in their world. They don't have to adopt anybody else's identity because they have their own godly expression. Teach them how to show up. Look at somebody, tell them, teach them how to show up. Teach them how to show up. And we don't, and let me give you a paraphrase of this verse and sum up where we are to this point. I said, we form a growth culture with an atmosphere of love that zeroes in on the moral development of our children and plants seeds from the lessons we've learned, or you've learned, And most importantly, lessons from the Word of God. Let me just say that again. To form a growth culture with an atmosphere of love that zeroes in on the moral development of your child and plant seeds from the lessons you've learned in life, your experiences. Amen. Tell your children about the time you used to get high and how it didn't work out. Don't be acting like you an angel all your life. You've been saved all your life. You ain't going to tell them. Tell them about the back seat of the car at the drive-in theater and what happened.
It didn't work out.
Tell them how you overcame that temptation. So the lessons you've learned, and most importantly, the Word of God. And here's another point from Corinthians. Form Paul and Apollos relationships. Form Paul and Apollos relationships. There was a situation going in Corinth. These people were talented, they were gifted. But they started saying and grouping and identifying themselves with the apostles. And some would say, I'm with Paul, and others would say, I'm with Apollos. And they would build these separate camps and these separate tents, and division came. And Paul had to write a letter. Say, listen, Paul has his job and Apollos has his job. But in the end, God causes it to grow. It is him that causes it to grow. And in our world, we have in our world, our Christian world and believers, we need to form Paul and Apollos relationships. We, the church, cannot come into your home. Your home is your domain. Your home is your place of instruction, training, tutoring, coaching. But as much as you are the home, you are not the church. You need the home and the church. You need a Paul and Apollos relationship. The home cannot be the church, and the church cannot be the home, because you need someone to seed it and another person to water it. So Paul plants and Apollos waters, but God causes it to grow. You plant the seed, and the church will water the seed. And God will cause it to grow. You plant the seeds of heroes in the Bible, and the church will water the seeds of heroes in the Bible, and God will cause it to grow. You plant the seed of the fear of the Lord, and the church will water the seed of the fear of the Lord, and God will cause it to grow. You plant the seed of miracle signs and wonders from the Word of God. The church will water the seed of miracle signs and wonders from the Word of God. And then God will cause it to grow. Come on, somebody say, I plant the seed. You water the seed. And God will cause it to grow. You plant a seed of leadership. We water the seed of leadership. And God causes it to grow. You plant the seeds of faith in your home. You bring them out, amen, on a Sunday for a couple hours. And the youth department waters the seed of faith in the Word of God. And then God causes it to grow. Somebody said, God causes it to grow. You don't have to do the shouting, playing, just play. I know it sounded like I was going there. God causes it to grow. It's the partnership. It's the partnership. Just turn it up a little bit. It's the partnership. You know, the lie of the enemy, say, I can do this at home. You need a partnership. It's not the will of God. You plant the seed. And I take nothing away from your households and families. Thank God you're teaching the word of God. Thank God. I applaud you. I've been a parent ever since I was 18 years old. Before I knew what a parent was. But I thank God for Sister Sharon Harris, who was a Sunday school teacher at Calvary Hill Church of God in Christ. And we did what we could to plant what we knew to plant. We get them to Sunday school, dollars no, and Sister Sharon would water it. We talk about integrity, give them the word of integrity. Take them to Sunday school, Sister Sharon Harris would water it. Then God calls it to grow. It's a lie of the enemy that says, I can do it all. Somebody say partnerships. Then Proverbs says, if you do this, the word of God says, and when they're old, because you've laid the way in them, because you've laid the seed in them, and because that seed has been watered, you have created a cultural environment, and you have created an atmosphere that God says, I can breathe on and cause it to grow. That you didn't just put the seed out there and didn't bury it. You put the seed out there in their heart, the ground of their heart. You created a belief system in them, and it's been reinforced not just by the teaching, not just by the teaching of the youth ministry, amen, but the anointing of God on that teaching watered the seed. And God said, now you put the seed in them, and you've watered it, now the growth comes from me. Yeah. Now it's my responsibility that makes sure they don't depart. And even if they act like the prodigal son, it is my job, God says, to watch over my word to perform it. Yeah. It's my responsibility that heaven and earth will pass away, but not my promises, because what? You've laid the seed, and the seed has been watered, and now the word is my responsibility. And God exalts his word above his name. It's got his characters involved in his name. So when the prodigal son leaves the house and gets his inheritance, and he goes through his changes and done all his turnips he could do. He went out to the MGM and gambled all his money. Hey, you know what? That seed is still there. I don't care how far your son and daughter look like they've gone, that seed is still there. And that seed is the seed of the word of God. And God is going to cause it to grow. Somebody say, God causes it to grow. And that seed's going to break ground. Tom, that seed's going to break ground. Sister Hardy, that seed's going to break ground. It's going to bring deliverance. It's going to bring breakthrough. Because God doesn't let his seeds just fall to the ground. Think of it this way. If I want my child to be fruitful in love, I got to intentionally plant love seeds. Then they get watered. My child learns how to love unconditionally, because every seed bears after its kind. If I want my child to be a forgiving person, then I got to put them seeds in them, teach them lessons and demonstrations from the Bible how to forgive. Because when we have orientation here in a few moments, amen, they're gonna give you a curriculum of what they're gonna teach over the balance of this year. So we can work in partnership of what's being taught Here, it could be Echo. We can seed and water the hearts of our young people. We can seed and water the hearts of our young people. And then just pray that those seeds, and believe God according to his word, that those seeds are going to grow. Amen? They're going to grow. God calls us to grow. God calls us to grow. We do our part. And then God, he causes it to grow. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. And we honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just worship for a moment. Just worship. Come on and worship. Come on, worship. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You can let, bring them in. Just let the young people come in. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Come on, worship. I know where I'm going. I just want to, let's create an atmosphere for this. Come on, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Even those that have adult children, and this message kind of weighs on your heart because you haven't seen the manifestation of breakthrough and deliverance you've been praying for. In the name of Jesus, we extend our faith. I want you to extend your faith to that son, that daughter. In the name of Jesus, and just proclaim and declare by faith that God causes that seed to grow. That seed, whatever that seed of deliverance, that seed of wisdom, that seed of discernment, that seed of insight, whatever it is, just go ahead and decree it by faith in the name of Jesus. That seed of maturity, that breaks the spirit of arrested development. In the name of Jesus, that won't allow your children to grow beyond. They look like they're stuck. They look like they're deceived. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and decree it by the word of God. Just decree it by faith in the name of Jesus. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, those on live, those that are watching via live stream, decree that, amen. And my seed, the seed of the righteous, the seed, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, they shall, the seed shall grow, the seed of the word. In the name of Jesus, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want every family, if you're that's here, if your children are around you, I want you to get them by the hand. I want everyone to stand. In the name of Jesus, get your family by the hand. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, how many, if you're a youth instructor, I want you to raise your hand. I know some are still in the room. Can we have all the elder, have the youth instructors come? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Now, I want every instructor, you see, families are standing with their children. I want you to just get one by the hand, just join in with a family in the name of Jesus. Just a family. There's a family over here. There's a family over here. And if we, and what we could do is we can pray for a little while and then we'll switch. What we're going to do, we're just demonstrating the partnership. And we're touching and agreeing, gen-to-gen teacher and parent. And we're touching and agree that the seed is going to be planted. Hear me. The seed is going to be watered, and God's going to cause it to grow. Hear what I said? The seed is going to be planted. The seed is going to be watered. The seed of destiny, purpose, wisdom of God, fear of the Lord, integrity, holiness, righteousness. And God is going to cause it to grow. In the name of Jesus. You got that? Everyone got that? All right, let's begin to pray with the hand that you're holding in the name of Jesus. If you're a teacher, Father, I agree with this parent, this mom, this dad, in the name of Jesus, that the seed of the word of God is going to be sowed, and even the seeds that have already been sown in their hearts is going to bear fruit in their life. If you're a parent, you're agreeing with that. In the name of Jesus, the seed of the word of God is going to be sown in my son, my daughter's, my grandchild's life. And they're not going to depart. In the name of Jesus, it's going to grow. God's going to cause it to grow. According to his word, it's going to grow. It's going to grow in the name of Jesus. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to increase. In the name of Jesus. And we bind the enemy that would try to steal that seed. And we bind the enemy that would try to destroy that seed of the word of God in their life. In the name of Jesus. Every destruction, every pestilence, everything that will come, every distraction, every man or every woman, every boy, every girl that will come on assignment to steal the seed. We shamar this family. We cover the family. We cover our sons and daughters now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we decree growth. We decree life. We decree the wind of God. God causes it to grow. God causes it to grow. He causes it to grow. It will grow and bear fruit. It will grow and bear fruit. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you need to move to someone else, move to someone else that didn't get a partner, because somebody come over here. Amen. Come over and pray with Robin and her mom in the name of Jesus. Come on. Let's pray. Come on. Come on. Shandresta. Come on. It's a Holy Ghost church. Let's pray. Understand. Rende bas today. Randa surinde by. Randes today. Randa tandish today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Randa basta. Vare te ke tandre sata. From generation to generation. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. In the name of Jesus. The God that sees is going to cause it to grow. The God that sees is going to cause it to grow.
I'm going to decree this over. Sometimes we have made mistakes and we kind of got off track. We have experienced adults. We have experiences where we got caught up and we went down certain roads. Well, we close that road to our children. We close those roads off. We put up Holy Ghost blockades that they will not, they don't have to repeat the mistakes we made. They can be like Samuel, dedicated to the things of God, who knew the voice of God. In the name of Jesus. You know all that foolishness, things that we may have got in? We curse that root in the name of Jesus. They're not going to repeat that. They're going to grow up in stature, grow up in influence, grow up in favor, grow up in strength, grow up in wisdom, grow up in insight, grow up in the prophetic, grow up in deliverance, grow up in the presence, grow up in the glory. We break the spirit of rebellion. Oh, I wish I had somebody praying with me. We come against the spirit of rebellion. That wants to attach itself to certain stages of life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How many receive that? We receive that. In the name of Jesus. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. I pray over every parent, Father, that their discernment is keen and sharp. That they don't have to function from a reactionary perspective, but you give them discernment of what's going on and even what's down the road. And they can ward their children and pray for their children and teach them against what is to come. In the name of Jesus. Our children will walk in their identity. We bind every spirit of identity confusion that's trying to permeate this culture. Our children will be in the kingdom culture. Righteousness in the name of Jesus. My God. Just one more, a couple more. And the mantle's going to fall on our generational line. The mantle of prayer. The mantle of glory. In the name of Jesus. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to do one more thing. I want to, over our live stream audience, I release the peace and the glory of God upon your family in the name of Jesus. What I want to do, Brother DeJean, is we're going to pray, give opportunity to give, but I want to bring them back for their orientation. So if you're watching via live stream, we're just going to have two segments. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to release you. Then we're going to go back. We're going to come back on live stream in about 5 minutes with the youth orientation. Because I pray that the word energized a recommitment to our youth. And that partnership between the seed, sowing the seed, watering the seed and giving God the opportunity to cause it to grow. Amen. So, amen, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, you can accept him. You can email us and contact us at the info, the number provided. In Jesus' name, it's as simple as that. Amen. I want you to receive this word, walk in this word. Amen. And join us back in about 5 minutes. The ways to give are on your screen. You can sow and be a blessing to this house. Thank God for people that sow that's never been here. Amen. And we're believing for a new building. Amen. We're believing for development and training of our youth. In Jesus' name. Amen. So be a blessing. Amen. Of course, I'll be on the prayer line tomorrow at 6 a.m. Amen. But we'll see you back in 5 minutes. We're going to relaunch because I want them to see the orientation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before you...